You're listening to What's New with Wired.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
It's Monday, April 15th. I'm Zeke Robison. Today we're talking about the bird flu. It's spreading in alarming new ways. Make sure to listen to the end to find out what other Wired podcasts you can check out today. Recently, a health alert from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention pinged its way across the inboxes of clinicians and state health departments all over the U.S. The message described how a dairy farm worker in Texas had contracted H5N1, the highly infectious strain of avian influenza or bird flu that's currently circling worldwide. The dairy farmer had caught the virus apparently from cattle. The CDC's alert urged doctors to be vigilant and consider H5N1 a possibility in any patients presenting with acute respiratory symptoms or sore eyes who had recently been in contact with animals. Around the world, virologists responded to the news with varying degrees of alarm. While this is the second confirmed human case of H5N1 infection in the U.S. in the past 2 years, in 2022, a worker at a poultry farm in Colorado contracted it from infected birds, it appears to be the first known case of the virus jumping from another mammal to humans. According to Raina McIntyre, who heads the biosecurity program at the Kirby Institute in Sydney, the biggest concern is that as the virus adapts more and more to mammalian species, it will gain mutations that will make it better equipped to spread between humans. So far, the public health threat from H5N1 has been minimal because it cannot easily enter the cells of the human nose and mouth, though when the virus does infect people, it can be deadly. The virus is not one that can transmit easily between humans, says McIntyre. The key event that could result in a human pandemic is a mutation that switched the affinity of the virus to certain receptors in the human respiratory tract. H5N1 is not a new virus. It was first detected in chickens in Scotland way back in 1959, and between January 2003 and December 2023, 882 human cases were reported across 23 countries, with a case fatality rate of 52%. The subtype that infected the Texan farm worker, known as 2344B, has been spreading in the wild on an unprecedented scale over the past 4 years. Reports suggest that it has killed hundreds of millions of domestic and wild birds since 2020, while at least 48 mammal species across 26 countries have also perished from the virus. This strain of H5N1 has already spread so far and wide that it has even reached Antarctica, an infected species ranging from foxes to polar bears. McIntyre describes the spiraling infections in animals as being unprecedented, and says that urgent surveillance is needed to monitor whether H5N1 begins spreading between pigs or ferrets, animals that have a similar receptor profile to humans. I have been following H5N1 since 1997, and the current situation is extremely worrying, McIntyre says. In the past, H5N1 epidemics in birds were sporadic and would die down after culling of infected poultry. Since 2021, the pattern has changed, and it has not gone away but steadily increased. In this time, many new mammalian species have been infected. Some may be suitable genetic mixing vessels to create a human pandemic strain, she says. In recent weeks, health officials in the U.S. have detected the presence of H5N1 in cows from 16 herds across 6 states, the biggest known outbreak in cattle. Research currently suggests, however, that the viral load is greatest in the animal's milk, hinting that H5N1 may be spreading through contaminated equipment, such as milking machines, rather than through the air, a transmission pathway which would be harder to stop. I don't think we need to panic. I think we just need to be alert, says Nevad Davidovits, an epidemiologist and public health expert at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev in Israel. We need to invest in more routine animal surveillance and create a system of sharing data about this virus. But one of the problems is that there's a lot of pandemic fatigue. If there is a human outbreak, McIntyre says the public health systems around the world are much better prepared to cope compared with a more novel virus like SARS-CoV-2 was when it emerged. This is because influenza has been subject to decades of intensive research. The World Health Organization has a list of potential candidate vaccines for various types of H5N1 that could be mass-produced at short notice. The CDC has revealed that the strain isolated in the Texan farm worker is closely related to two H5N1 strains that can be targeted with existing vaccine candidates. The last human influenza pandemic was in 2009, and vaccines were available 6 months after the first cases, says McIntyre. We now have many new vaccine technologies that can be made faster. We also have antivirals which work against all flu strains and do not need to be matched. Getting your seasonal flu shot can also confer a small amount of cross-protection. Other researchers point out that H5N1 remains a virus that is best adapted to birds, and the isolated infections of farm workers do not suggest that it will suddenly acquire the ability to spread rapidly between humans or even cows. The virus sequence data still shows that the virus is an avian virus, so the likelihood of it persisting long-term in cattle will be low, says Munir Iqbal, who leads an avian influenza research group at the Pirbright Institute in the UK. Instead, a more pressing concern may be the impact H5N1 is already having on food security. Maurice Petesky, a researcher at the UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine, told Wired that in the past week, two of the biggest commercial poultry facilities in the U.S. have reported an H5N1 outbreak, resulting in the euthanasia of nearly 4 million laying hens. Last year, similar outbreaks cost the U.S. government $500 million in compensation payouts to poultry producers and caused a surge in the price of eggs. The impact on commercial poultry from a welfare, economic, and food security perspective is unprecedented, says Petesky. We can't seem to get this under control, and we're kind of teetering a little in terms of how far this could ostensibly propagate and continue to spread in farm animals throughout the world. As a recent example of what may ensue, Petesky points to the repeated African swine fever outbreaks across various Asian countries in the past decade, which decimated the pig farming industry to the extent that pork was briefly usurped by poultry as the most widely consumed animal protein on the planet. Petesky argues, however, that the current model of governments heavily compensating farmers for their livestock losses in the wake of a viral outbreak is financially unsustainable, and more investment needs to be diverted toward AI-driven technologies that can prevent these infections in the first place. I work on predictive models using a combination of weather radar, satellite imagery, and machine learning to understand how waterfowl behavior around different farms is changing, says Petesky. He can use this information to understand which of the 50,000 to 60,000 commercial poultry facilities in the U.S. are most at risk and form strategies to protect all the birds in those facilities. Technology may ultimately offer a path toward eliminating the virus in commercial poultry. In October, a team of researchers in the U.K. published a study in the journal Nature Communications demonstrating that it is possible to use the gene editing tool CRISPR to make chickens resistant to avian influenza. This was done through editing genes that make the proteins ANP32A, ANP32B, and ANP32E in chickens, which the virus uses to gain access to chicken cells. CRISPR has been shown to be capable of making livestock resistant to other infections, such as the cancer-causing viral disease avian leucosis and porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome, which is responsible for widespread economic losses in pig farms. The currently available methods are the use of strict farm biosecurity, poultry vaccinations in some countries, and massive depopulation of infective or exposed chicken flocks, says Alewo Idoko-Ako at the University of Bristol, the lead researcher on the Nature Communications study. These methods have been partially successful but have so far failed to stop recurrent bird flu outbreaks around the world. Gene editing of chickens to introduce disease resistance should be considered as an additional tool for preventing or limiting the spread of bird flu. Petesky described the paper as really interesting, but pointed out that it would require widespread public acceptance toward consuming gene-edited chicken for it to become commercially viable. I think that those technological solutions have a lot of potential, but the issue, more than anything, especially in the United States, is sentiment toward chickens that have been genetically modified, he says. For now, Iqbal says that the best chance of keeping avian influenza under control is more active surveillance efforts in animal populations around the world to understand how and where the H5N1 is spreading. The surveillance system has been improved, and any infection that appears unusual is thoroughly investigated, he says of the situation in the U.S. This has helped to identify unusual outbreaks, such as infections in goats and cattle. However, he says much more work is needed to detect the virus in animals that don't show signs of disease. Make sure to check out our other Wired podcasts. Today in Wired Business, crypto magnate Do Kwon has been found liable for multi-billion dollar fraud. Checking in on Wired Science, find out if you can really run on top of a train like in the movies. And on Wired Security, learn how to stop your data from being used to train AI. Listen to these stories and more at wired.com/podcasts.
Spoken Layer.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.